Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My name is Nicholas, and we've begun the Book of Malachi this morning. Sometimes you just broach into territory where you know you're going to have to say some stuff that is not going to be very well accepted, that is not very popular, that goes so against the grain of the society today and against the grain of the corporate church that you just kind of cringe to have to, you know, continue. But then I have this commitment to my Heavenly Father not to hold back when it comes to His Word. I have my commitment to you, the listeners, that I'm not going to pull any punches. So sometimes I just have to go forward. Okay, you know, if people want to tune out or turn off, I guess that's what they're going to do. But here we are. We're in the Word, and we're talking about Malachi chapter 2. And we get to what is commonly referred to here when people talk about divorce. Now, I've seen people go every extreme on divorce, that nobody can be divorced because and remarry after divorce, that they have to remain single for the rest of their life. And, you know, I remember I was doing, when I started doing my broadcast some, whatever, 10, 12 years ago, whenever it was, that I had a guest on one time, and he came on, and his credentials are, my name is, and I have been, and in this ministry and going to this church, and I've been a whatever denomination he was for how many years, and I've been married my teenage sweetheart for, you know, 17 years, or because he wasn't that old of a man, and he made sure that was one of his major credentials, because he had this thing that where everyone that was divorced was now condemned, regardless of the circumstances, to have to live their life single, because the Bible does not allow for remarriage once you're divorced. Well, I think he's reading a different Bible than I am, anyway. And divorce is not a good thing, but sometimes divorce is necessary, because even God divorced Israel. This is where we get into some of the stuff that is not so well accepted in societal correctness. He talks about the wife of thy youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. So the covenant is, of course, here in this context, is a reference to an agreement when a man and a woman get married. They're married according to the law of God, and the law of God spells out certain things that a man can't not put his wife away except for the cause of fornication. Of course, now the scribes, Pharisees, and the hypocrites, when they were writing their rules, they brought a bunch of rules of reasons why a man could put his wife away, because it was convenient for them, and they wanted to deal treacherously with their wives. They did not want to keep their covenant. And so, and under the Hebrew system of law, the men could take a new wife. They could have several wives. But under the law of God, they weren't allowed to put away their former wives when they got a new wife. They were required to love their wives, as said later, as Christ loved the church. So they weren't allowed to cut them off, to cut them off from their sustenance, to stop taking care of them, and they weren't allowed to stop being a loving husband to the wife of their youth when they got older and they took a younger wife, perhaps. And this is the kind of treachery that was going on. And this is how they were rewriting the rules, that a man could give his wife a writ of divorcement so that they could do this treachery. And that's really what this is all about. That's what it's about. So now you get a little understanding, but yet a man could divorce his wife for a lawful reason. If she had been caught in adultery, then he could divorce her for that. That would not be a problem. Or if she withheld, you know, the cause of fornication, let's say she withheld her body from him. She withheld what was due to him as a husband and what a wife is supposed to give to a husband. He could divorce her for that reason. Because I know there's a lot of women out there who control their, you know, with enforced monogamous society, you have a lot of wives who control their husbands using sex. But see, I believe under the law that that was just as bad and just as much a good a reason for divorcing a wife or putting her away as adultery. Because basically it is adultery in a way. It's a spiritual type of adultery. I know that's not very well accepted today, but everyone knows it's true when I say it, that there are a lot of women out there that use sex to control their man by withholding. And you see it's displayed in the TV all the time, in the sitcoms and the movies, that that men are controlled by their wives. Now, in the society where a man could have more than one wife, a woman couldn't control her husband that way. Because that forces a lot of men to go out and get extra marital affairs or have a mistress or whatever, because their wives withhold from them, basically initiating a divorce. You know, maybe not a divorce on paper by the legal standards of the laws of the nations, but a divorce nonetheless in a spiritual sense. So let's continue here in Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. He says, you require, 14, 15, and did he not make one? So he's talking about the one, the relationship, the man and the woman become one. And he says, and wherefore, and why did he make you one? Okay, this, why did you come together? Why did you have this covenant? Okay, the questioning continues here. In verse 15, he says, and did not he make you one? Of course, talking about the covenant, the godly covenant of bringing a man and a woman together. Did he not make one? Yet had the residue of the one of the Spirit? And wherefore one? And why did he make you one? That's the question here in our archaic King James English here. And wherefore one? And why did he make you one? That he might seek a godly seed. So what is the reason that we have a godly marriage? To bring forth godly seed. That's what he's saying here. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. And she may not be able to bear, because perhaps she's coming up around menopause. She can't bear. And a man has perhaps taken another wife, or perhaps has a couple younger wives that are bearing children. The law says he cannot put her out. But speaking to the priests here, they were writing the law. Remember, Yahshua, Jesus, was always breaking their laws, breaking their Sabbath rules, breaking their commands. He never broke the commandments of our Heavenly Father. Never once did he sin, because that would be a sin. But it was not a sin for Yahshua to break the commandments of men, or to break the traditions of men, as it sometimes has been regarded to in the New Testament. They called their special rules for keeping the Sabbath the traditions of men, or the traditions of the elders. And that's what's going on here. They were making special rules so that they could legally, not lawfully, but legally divorce their wives and deal treacherously with them. But he says he brought you together for godly seed, because there's really, you know, no other reason for a husband and a wife to come together and get married except to raise up godly seed. Otherwise, you know, we could all just have friends. Therefore, take heed, dear spirit, let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. And this broaches on several topics. Like I said, some things that I might say are very unpopular today. And, you know, they're having a walk for life down here. I saw the poster at one of the congregation that I attend. Attend several times a month. I attend a local unincorporated congregation. And they had a poster on the bulletin board about the annual walk for life. And, you know, those annual walks for life haven't seemed to do any good. Abortion became legal in America during the 1970s. And, of course, the numbers skyrocketed, you know, precipitously in a manner, a number of years. And then as a per capita number, they started to dwindle and go down to where they pretty much leveled out to. Because people had to deal with the results of their conscience basically, those whose consciences weren't seared. And so a lot of people have, even ungodly, have decided that abortion is not a good thing. But still, it's politically correct. It's politically incorrect to be against abortion, except in the visible church, which brings me back to the walk for life. And the problem is, you know, abortion goes so much against who our Heavenly Father, our Creator, has revealed Himself to be. He's revealed Himself to be one that loves people and loves children. As a matter of fact, the very first commandment that He gave to mankind was to be fruitful and multiply. And He said that children are a gift, a heritage from Him. And that's what He said. Blessed is the man who has his quiver full. That's what He said. And if you have the heart, if you have a heart after our Creator, then you're going to have that same heart. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they use the children. It's for the children. At the same time, they hate children because they practice the practices of the heathen and the practices of those who hate children. And yes, I'm talking about birth control and abortion, because in my eyes, there's no difference between birth control and abortion. Birth control is just preemptive abortion. That's all it is. And it says that you don't believe God. One, you don't believe God will provide, because you have to make the decision and you get to decide whether someone gets born or not, whether you're going to have children or not. That's, He's no longer the giver of life. You are now the moderator of whether He gives life through you or not. Yeah, you've taken His lordship over that area of your life away from Him rather than giving it to Him. And here's another problem with the birth control and abortion. And that's why there's so much abortion even in the church now, is because they're hypocrites. Probably half of those people, or more than half of those people out there that will be marching or doing their walk for life will be practicing birth control at the same time, deciding that they don't want children. But let me tell you something about the kingdom of God. And they wonder why the nation has gone so far astray. Why we just can't make headway. Why we can't get rid of abortion. You know? Why are the wicked prospering? You know? Why? Well, because they're, you know, even with abortion, they're more numerous than we are. Because, you know, the church practices birth control and abortion. I'm going to tell you what. The people of God should be taking over this nation by sheer population. If they were obeying the first commandment, which says, be fruitful and multiply, we would be overpopulating and outpopulating and raising up godly seed. That He might seek a godly seed. There it is, Malachi 2:15. That He might seek a godly seed. Take heed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. His people should be taking over the nation, should be taking over the government, should be taking over the legislation by sheer population out of obedience to Him. But it's because we hate His law, we hate His commandments, and I'm not speaking about myself because I've changed my mind. I have repented. I don't hate His law. I was taught to hate His law. But I'm going to tell you something funny happened to me 15, 20 years ago. I came to the realization that I didn't really love God. I was going through the motions, singing the songs, getting all of the teary-eyed and all that stuff in the congregation, singing the worship songs and going through all these motions. And they were teaching me to hate God's law, was nailed to the cross and all that stuff. And that we don't have to do His, you know, we don't have to do that and we don't have to do this because we have, you know, we can do whatever we want because we now have liberty. Use not your liberty as an occasion for the flesh. But that's what they've taught us to do, to use the liberty that we have in Christ as an occasion for the flesh. But I came to the realization that I didn't really love God. Because I stumbled on that, what Yahshua said. He said, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Because He was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, you shall love the Lord your God. You shall love Yahuwah, your God. I'm sure that that's how He said it, because He didn't speak King James English. And then He says, you shall love your neighbors yourself. Well, there's a lot of emphasis on the love your neighbors yourself. But if you don't get the love God part first, then you can't really love your neighbor properly. If you're not doing it in obedience to him, it's not proper. Your motivation, your intentions might be good, but you know that what they say about good intentions, I won't repeat it. But I stumbled on that commandment, and I thought about it, and I thought, well, I want to love God. How do I know that I love him? And then I read, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I started looking into the commandments, and I came to the realization that, yeah, if I love him, how do I show him that I love him? If I love him, I want to please him. Not just sing songs that make me feel good. Not just rehearse and repeat things that make me feel good about who I am and what I'm doing. Not just attending church and singing the songs and swaying with tears in my eyes. No, but actually doing the things that please him, shows him that I love him. That's how I know that I love him. And he says that's how that we know that we love the brethren, because we keep his commandments. If you love me, you do the things I say over and over and over. And there it is. If we have a heart after him, then we're going to want the same things he wants. And if his commandment says, be fruitful and multiply, why isn't his people, those people that say they're called by his name, why aren't they doing it? Why aren't they obeying him? Why aren't we winning? Because everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. All these people that call themselves Christians, they don't care. They'll say they love children, but they don't want any of them because they're practicing birth control. And they'll say, oh, we're free from the law. When he said, be fruitful, multiply, we don't have to do that. We don't care about pleasing our heavenly Father, because obviously if he gave us the commandment, that means that's what pleases him. So are we pleasers of men, or are we pleasers of our Creator? And that's why we can't win. If we were obedient, we would win by sheer population. Because if we were obedient, one, we would have children, and two, our children would learn obedience from us because we were being obedient. So you go down and join the hypocrites as they walk for life. But I'll tell you, there won't be one of them that'll preach this message unless I go down there and preach it. But it'd probably get run off. Yeah, I hope that some people that are going to participate in this so-called walk for life will hear the words I'm saying, that they'll take it to heart, that they'll realize that they've been disobedient, or they'll realize that they have been obedient and the things that I'm saying are true, and preach that message to those people down there that don't seem to have a clue as to why they can't win on that issue or anything else, as to why the nation is being lost, because we should be winning it by sheer population if we were being obedient to his command as his people to be fruitful and multiply, and we would be raising up godly seed. Well, that's got to be a fairly unpopular message in the society today. And I guess we'll just move on from there. And he ends it is for Yahuwah, the God of Israel. He names his name and he says, the God of Israel saith that he hateth putting away. And what is this? Of course, this is the divorce. Perhaps we should talk a little bit more while we have a few minutes in this segment about the law concerning divorce or putting away. In his law, a woman couldn't divorce her husband. All she could do was leave him. And there were lawful reasons that a woman could leave her husband. A woman could leave her husband if he did not provide for her his husbandly duty, or did not provide for her, or if he abandoned her, she could leave him. And she could go to the judges. Of course, they had thrown off the judges by this time. There were no more judges in Israel. They had thrown off that form of government. And they had even lost their king, who they threw off when they said, we want a king like the other nations. They threw off his system of government. Because truly, the government that our Heavenly Father set up in the wilderness there was a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And no, that phrase was not coined by Abraham Lincoln. He borrowed it from one of the earlier translators of the Bible. It wasn't Wycliffe. It was, I forget the other translator's name. Anyway, it's not important. But That was the government that he created when he created the system of judges, because it was those that over the tens and over the 50s and over the hundreds, they had a system of a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, and that was the government that he set up. They threw off. So a wife, if she had a thing against her husband, she would go to the judges. The judges would investigate it. And they would make a judgment. And that she would be free at that point to remarry, free from her husband, unless her husband could say, well, no, you know, she's not, I've been providing. Of course, they would have witnesses and so forth if the husband wanted to contest it. So a woman could be free by leaving her husband and going to the judges. Now, a husband didn't have to do that. He could just give his wife a writ of divorcement and set her free that way. And that's what Malachi is talking about here. They were cutting their wives off, throwing them out with nothing, and for whatever reason, for any light reason, and not for a lawful reason. So he says, he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment. And there, I believe that's a reference to covering the violence of what they're doing by a legal divorce. Of course, legal is one thing, and lawful is another thing. To demonstrate it's legal to have an abortion by the laws of man, but it is not lawful by the law of God. So there you have the difference there between legal and lawful. So when the priests made up special rules for that men could put his wife away for a like cause, and you'll see that Yahshua, Jesus, even dealt with this very same issue when he was asked the question about the woman who had seven husbands. That's a very interesting, I have a very interesting take on that myself, but we won't talk about that today. We'll get there when we get into Matthew. He hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. And you know, there's so much treachery going on today. I've been dealt treacherously with, in marriage too. Because, you know, to have a wife leave you for an unlawful cause, same thing. It works both ways. Today, a wife can seek a divorce if you're married under the laws of the state. If you're not married under the laws of the state, well, they can't seek a divorce, because the laws of the state where I live in today are different than the laws of our Heavenly Father. It's where the wife has the same power as the man, because of the equality thing. That way the wife can be a co-master in a marriage. All marriages in California are democracies. It's probably one reason why you have so much trouble in marriages, because, you know, what happens when you have two people voting, and what do you do when you have a tie, right? Well, the truth is, in the state, if you get a state marriage license, the tie is broken by the state, because there's three parties to the marriage. And all of the product of the marriage belongs to the state. That's why your children belong to the state, and they can do whatever they want with them by their law. That's why I don't advise getting a marriage license and getting married by the state. There's no law that requires you to anyway. You can get married without a license. It's just like so many other laws that are voluntary, that people think because they've been brainwashed into thinking they're mandatory. But if it's a free country, a lot of what is thought to be mandatory can't be mandatory, because if it is, then it's not a free country. So where do we live? Well, I'll stay in the freedom side myself as much as I can. And if they try to force me, I guess they can take my life or put me in prison or do whatever they want with me if it comes down to that.